Welcome into another edition of The Session with Londa and David. My name is David Austin.
I'm Londa Sherwood Austin. Welcome back. I didn't die.
We've taken the last couple of weeks off because Londa had some pretty major surgery.
Well, I had a hernia repair. Yeah.
And I didn't realize how involved that really was. But you were moving slowly. Moving slow.
Yeah. But all I have to say about that is Google is free. yeah. So we've had actually a lot going on. Our real estate and lending office is changing locations.
Right.
And because of that move, this setup is maybe temporary. We don't know. If you're watching, looks a little different. And by the way, we don't know if it's always going to look like this. So who knows? Like, we're doing the best we can with what we got right this minute. But our professional life is a little bit in flux right now. So
sure.
So here we are.
Sure. And we can talk a little bit about that. Okay. So here's the latest. ERA, Skyview ERA, has moved from its location on Fowler up to Quinault in the building where Skyview Law is.
Yes.
They've purchased another unit in that building, and that's where the real estate company is going to go.
Yep.
The cool thing is the owners of ERA Skyview also own the building on Fowler, so they're just going to rent it out to multiple tenants.
Yeah.
So I think that's an exciting opportunity for everyone involved. The mortgage side of the business has also changed. And what's happened is we've kind of opened our own thing called Sherwood Austin Mortgage. Sherwood Austin Mortgage is powered by Expert Home Lending.
Right.
And we are doing exactly what we did before, except there's one small twist. Sherwood Austin Mortgage is actually a lender and uses a correspondent lending relationship with United Wholesale Mortgage, the world's largest wholesale lender. So I have a few more opportunities within United Wholesale Mortgage, or UWM, to offer fast, efficient service. And that's an exciting thing. And I've brought on a partner to the business, our buddy, David Fetto.
So right.
Dancing David Fetto is
so
handling
David
all
Squared.
The operational stuff.
David Squared will handle all your mortgage needs.
And I was told we could not call it Double D Lending. Could not.
David Squared.
D2. I like D2. That's pretty fun. Anyway, the DBA, Sherwood Austin Mortgage, has not yet been approved. So for now, it's just Expert Home Lending. And there you have it. And there it is. That's
there
all I
go.
Have to say about
there
that.
There you go. So I was on an interesting call this morning that I kind of want to talk about. I want to talk about the market a little bit. I'm excited to get back to work because I've been down for 2 weeks today.
Right.
Starting tomorrow, I'm cleared for a lot of things that I'm not cleared for quite yet. So
right.
I'm so excited to get back to like life, right? But I've been thinking about business a lot. I was up during the night like rewriting listing descriptions in my brain. I finally grabbed my phone and just started writing some notes. And so, but I was on a call with a bunch of top realtors today.
Okay.
I was going to say top experts. What? Top realtors today.
Sure.
And they were talking about the like pre-foreclosure, foreclosure conversation and having that conversation with clients because they're having more of those conversations. And it led into more of a conversation about, or like short sales and that kind of thing, led into a conversation about realistic pricing right now. And so we were talking about, there was a lot of discussion about how are you preparing sellers right now for the marketplace, right? Because the prices aren't what they want them to be.
Right.
By and large, sellers want more for their properties than what they're getting right now.
Okay.
Would you say that's true? I'd say it's true.
Yes. And here's what I would say, a little caveat to that.
Okay.
Perceived value and actual value are often a different number. And everybody perceives their home is the most valuable home on the planet, period. We're emotionally connected to it.
Yeah.
We have wonderful memories in our homes. And so we think our homes are different.
Yeah. And yeah, I know that house. It's just like mine.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Exactly like mine. An exact perfect comparable property sold yesterday for $520,000. But my house is worth $600,000.
Because it's so awesome. And let me tell you, I put pavers in the backyard and I put beautiful plants back there. And that house is a straight dog turd. So my house is worth $600,000.
So
everyone feels that way.
So the thing for as realtors is we have to, you know, manage emotion and logic. These conversations are emotional and they're logical. We look at the data, right? Mm-hmm. And show the data. And well, I'm pretty quiet in these calls. I know that's surprising. I'm there to listen, learn, observe. If I'm called on, I'll say something, but nobody knows who I am. So, I'm listening to people talk about this and they were asking like, what do you say to people? And I'm like, one of the things that I always say is, listen, like, if you make more money, I make more money.
Right.
Do you think I don't want to make more money? You think I'm not trying to get the most I possibly can for your house?
Right.
Or property or horse property or your farm or your orchard or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Your investment property, your commercial property, whatever it is. Like your 20 acres out there. We did, we talked with somebody a few weeks ago that is wanting to sell a piece of property and with kind of a dog shit house on it. And the property is pretty rough I'm like, I'm sorry. So right at the top. So what are you hoping to get? Well, I'm thinking 550, I think was the number. And I run the numbers on it and it's more like 400.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm really sorry. Like, I wish it was 550 because again, when you make more, I make more.
Right.
And I am one of those people who's motivated by money. I just am.
Yeah.
Right. Because and for those of you who just went, ooh, motivated by money, ew. There's a whole bunch of us that are motivated by money. And guess what? We do a lot of really great things with that money that we make. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a bad thing to be motivated by money. It's how my brain's wired. And so, yeah, so I was just thinking like, man, if I could get more money for it, I would.
Right.
I wish we could, right? But then they were talking about like, what do you say to people that you can't get there with them? You can't, there's no meeting of the mind. They want 600, your data shows 520, you can't get past it. You don't want to take a listing that is going to be painful to drop
right.
the price until they finally come to it. And people were like giving all these kind of different answers that I think were pretty softball answers. And I'm like, we're not going to get there. It's not a love match. Close it up and walk out the door.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, what do you mean? What do I say? I say, this is not a match. Bye.
Yeah.
We put our best foot forward. Here's what we think. Here's the truth. I'm being honest. I would rather break your heart up front than string you along for 6 months and then break your heart.
Yes.
Like, I am not that person.
Well, and before you move on, that's a big deal because there are agents who say things like, you know what? Whatever you think is what we'll do, we'll start wherever you think it's right. And the market will tell us. The market will tell you. But being honest up front and giving people the data, because data doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. Data doesn't lie. A house is not worth more than what 100 reasonable people would be willing to pay for that house. That's what an appraisal figures out. Ultimately.
Yeah.
People should make their decisions based on trust and faith in the person they're working with. So what I tell people when they ask me, well, how do I pick a realtor? I've been saying the same thing about lenders for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Pick someone you're going to be happy to run into in the grocery store.
Right.
Because that is an awful feeling, being in the grocery store and hiding from somebody because you've let them down.
Right.
Awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So it's interesting though, and here's what I wanted to talk about even more. I kind of set that up one side of it. And what I didn't bring up on the call, because it's not my call. Again, I'm there to observe and listen and learn.
Right.
Right? It's is, it's interesting that they're seeing a lot more of this. And at the same time, Warren Buffett just liquidated like $3.2 billion, I think, if I'm remembering my numbers right, and they could be off, but and invested $800 million into D.R. Horton and Lennar.
The two largest home builders in America.
So those are two different, those are two opposing stories.
Sure, yeah.
In a way. So let me tell you how they go together. It is going to get worse before it gets better, but it is going to get better.
Yes. And
does that make sense?
It does. It does. And, you know, you were in this conversation with people from across the United States. Yeah. So the conversation about short sales and foreclosures is not necessarily a conversation we're having a lot in our market. Because we're not seeing a lot of that.
No, but
in our
we do have one right now that we're working with that, you know, was potentially going to be a short sale, is not now, but
yes,
and somebody on that call said, well, I'm working with this situation, and gave all, I mean, it was almost identical,
yes,
but in a different state.
Sure.
So,
and the state of disrepair that a home is in could lead to that.
Sure.
Our clients have the wherewithal to remediate the things that made it look like an unsaleable home.
Right.
So we kind of dodged a bullet with that one, kind of, right?
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, if I had been called on and asked to share, like, well, did you have that? And what did you say? I had a different perspective than anybody else on the call. And that was, I sat down and said, okay, what can we do?
Right.
Who do you know?
Right.
What favors can you call in?
Sure.
Can we call in any favors? How can we help, and how can we make this home marketable?
Right.
So that it doesn't have to be wholesaled for 40 cents on the dollar.
Well, and let me tell you something. If you've got a house without working irrigation, without a working stove, and without working AC and or heat, you're in trouble. There's a problem with value there. And if you owe more than the house in its current state is worth, call us, because we can help you figure out how to remediate it before we go to sell and get you out of trouble.
Yeah, I don't want a bunch of those calls,
No, to be honest.
I don't want to become the expert in that.
What I'm saying is, though, we do have the knowledge and we do have the expertise to be able to provide the guidance that you need to be able to not lose your shirt, because our market is still very healthy. And the reason our market specifically is healthy is because unemployment is low in our market. Mm-hmm. And when you have a good economy, you have good home values. When you have a poor economy, often you have poor home values. Mm-hmm. Here's what's interesting. If tomorrow the federal government announced we were in a recession, historically, home values continue to rise during a recession, but also historically, interest rates drop dramatically during a recession. And I don't know if you were paying attention last week when Fed Chairman Jerome Powell on Thursday said, you know what, I'm kind of softening my stance, and I do think a rate cut is necessary. And so we will look at that very seriously at our next meeting.
Right.
When he said that, the stock market had a banner day, because the lower the Fed fund rate, the less expensive it is for companies to borrow intraday. Banks loan money based on the Fed fund rate intraday to other banks. Mm-hmm. Those institutions, if they drop the Fed fund rate by a quarter, it'll be a quarter cheaper to borrow. So the stock market loved that news and had a huge rally on Friday, Thursday afternoon and Friday after that announcement. It hasn't happened yet. Often when the Fed lowers the Fed fund rate, we see a small spike, a short-term spike in interest rates, and then they settle down too. Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited about what I'm seeing in the market, and I think, at least where we are, things are going to get a lot better.
I also saw a statistic today that I thought was very interesting that I haven't seen before, and so I haven't checked it out. But somebody said historically housing values double every 15 years.
Oh, I haven't seen that either, but that's pretty good.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Make your payments on your mortgage because that thing's an appreciating asset.
Yeah.
If you've got a 30-year mortgage, guess what? That's going to be worth a whole lot more when you're done paying it off.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool deal.
It's interesting, right?
Well, yeah. And I remember the statistic just from a year ago that since 2019, the average house has appreciated $150,000 in the Tri-Cities. I don't know if that's still the case, but that was the information a year ago. Mm-hmm. And we're still seeing houses sell for way more than they were selling before COVID. But I think we're seeing a little calming down. And that's where I come back to perceived value is different than actual sure. value.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep. There you go.
Okay.
That's our housing up. That's our market update,
I guess. And it's a good one. And it's yeah. exciting information.
Yeah.
And I'm super stoked to see what's going to happen.
So what does that mean for the average consumer? If you've been thinking about putting your house on the market, now is the time to list because you want to be out there having had exposure when all of this happens. Because that what happens is that when that happens, what you just explained, mm-hmm. then buyers will come back to the market in a stronger way than they already are.
Sure. And Warren Buffett's not the only investor I know that's doubling down on real estate.
No, it was just that one was an easy one too.
Follow the Oracle of Omaha and you can't go wrong, or Nancy Pelosi, because she's a really strong trader. Insider trading, I don't know. It's none of my business.
What else is going on?
Well, we have a lot going on with the move of our offices, with the market moving and shaking. We're not having any slowdown in our real estate or lending business, despite the weird stuff going on.
I feel like we're
in our lives
slow.
But I know I think you feel it's that way,
because I've mostly been in bed for 2 weeks.
That's exactly right.
So it feels I'm like
we're still getting new people in the pipe every single day.
Yeah,
we have three or four brand new buyers.
We've got plenty of room for more.
That's exactly right. We always have room for your referrals.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what do you have going on right now today? You've got a builder, new construction builder walkthrough with a client, mm-hmm. and then that client's going to sign on that new home today.
Yep, fingers crossed.
What else do you have today?
That's it.
You have a call as soon as we get off of this.
I don't want to discuss that.
Okay, you don't want to discuss that.
I don't mind talking about, I had surgery, whatever. I don't want to discuss all my medical care.
Is that what this call is?
Yes.
When we get done here? Okay. Well, we only have about 12 more minutes of the show. So yeah. I want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. What would you like to talk about next? Let's talk about the restaurant review nobody asked for. And this is about nachos. Nachos, I got to tell you, if you're in a restaurant and you come to me with, do you want beef or chicken? I am going to always say beef because that's what nachos are. Nay, nay, I say.
Okay.
Nay, nay. I had a meal recently.
Okay.
That had rotisserie chicken on the nachos. And if you would have told me ahead of time that that's what was coming, I would have said, not for me. No, thank you. But this food was served with a smile. It was spectacular. And I've never had anything
like
it.
Best thing ever.
Literally the best nachos I've ever had. Now, if you're looking to get these in a restaurant, you can't, because Londa, you made them at home. I don't know how you did it, because when you got out the chips, we had nothing but chip dust in the bag. And I don't.
Which is what David calls the bottom of the bag.
Right. The little tiny broken chip pieces.
Dust.
And I'm
there
like,
was more than chip dust.
Okay. There were a few chips left, but it was like a little over a quarter of a bag. And a lot of it was broken up nachos or tortillas.
You put it in a pan, you cut up the Costco rotisserie chicken meat, throw it over, and anything can be held together if you put enough cheese on it.
I have said time and time again, the best nachos in this market are at Sam's Saloon.
Oh.
And you order the small, and it comes in like a Thanksgiving serving tray.
You know what I think, though, is some bullshit? Have you noticed how restaurants have started, like, squirting the tiniest little thin bit of sour cream over the top of the nachos?
And that makes me angry.
Instead of serving, like, I want a big cup of sour cream.
Right.
big cup of thick sour cream.
Yes.
Served with my nachos. The little watered down squirt of sour cream across the top.
That's no good.
Keep it.
Yeah, that's no good. And we've had that style nachos recently at a couple different restaurants. Yeah. Hops and Drops, which used to be called something else or whatever it's called. Hop Time. I don't know what it's called now.
Excuse my yawning.
Yeah. They used to be Hop Jacks. Now they're Hops and Drops. They do that little.
Yeah. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. I'm just saying I want that big Mac Daddy bowl of sour cream.
Or as they do it at Sam's Saloon, they bring you your own individual thing of sour cream, and they will bring you more if you don't have enough. And then you put it on however you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got
really good nachos. There was a lot of eating out, though, while I was ill.
Yep.
You ate out at a lot of different places.
And I hated it. Most of it I hated. However, we had one really, really good pizza experience while you were convalescing.
Okay.
And that was Eats Pizza in Pasco.
Eats Pizzeria.
Get it to go. Don't sleep on it. Take it out. Don't sit there. They have like two or three little tables. It's not a place that you want to hang out all night, but it is a place that makes really, really good pizza.
Eats Pizzeria in Pasco, Washington. If you're from here, you'll know it's in the old Sahara Pizza.
And I had never been there, but I'm glad you wanted to try it.
Across the street from McGill's.
That's exactly right. Just catty corner from McGill's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was good pizza. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this, here's a trick. Get the sauce on the side.
Yeah. Thank us later.
We did sauce on the side, not on the pizza. And we got the meat pizza. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was called. I don't think it was called Meats.
I don't remember.
Eats a Meats Pizza. I don't know. But
Meats a Eats a Pizzeria.
And the little Italian guy with the handlebar mustache for their logo. Hilarious.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so that was a good one.
Oh, yeah. I'm tired. I would say that pizza was an 8 out of 10. And that's high for me because 3 days earlier we had Pizza Hut pizza and that didn't sit well in my little tummy.
Yeah.
I can't eat like that. I need more unprocessed, cleaner foods. I need to eat the way you make food, honey, because it's different living in this house than my whole life has been. Very, very different. So I like it that you're kind of coming back.
Or you could learn to cook.
Well, I know how to make a really killer breakfast product.
That is true.
And I know how to make a really killer steak.
And breakfast is my favorite. So I could legitimately have breakfast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. I love breakfast foods.
I love breakfast foods,
too.
They're
my favorite. Pizza used to be my favorite food my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore. Breakfast foods are superior. Fight me. I don't care. Give me a breakfast item. Like, it's better than anything else.
Here's another restaurant review nobody asked for. We went 3 weeks ago now, to Fable for breakfast. We had a breakfast meeting at Fable in Kenowick. I think that's Kenowick.
Is it Richland or Kenowick? I don't know.
I think it's Kenowick, but I don't know.
It's on the river.
Yeah, it's on the river. I think it's Kenowick because it's farther down, but I don't know that. None of my business. Whatever the case, I think that little park there where you go set in your paddle boards is the start of Richland. I think that's where the sign says, "Welcome to Richland." I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, the restaurant review?
Yeah. We had breakfast there, and I ordered their country fried steak. I got news for you. Typically, I love the kind of dog food style processed steak product that comes in country fried steak, you know, that's clearly pressed together in a laboratory. I love the flavor of that.
Gross.
I normally don't order actual good quality steak that has been fried because there's something about it. Not so at Fable. That country fried steak was bomb. I don't know what they do to it, but holy cow. And it was enough for two of us to eat. We split that.
It was
breakfast. Really
enough for three people.
Well, I hit it hard. I went in low and fast and I threw a few elbows.
Yeah.
It was like watching Caitlin Clark play. Elbows were flying.
It's like, since my surgery, I haven't had much of an appetite. So it's almost, I was at the grocery store yesterday and I'm like, I don't know. it's kind of a waste of time, like cooking for one person and a couple bites.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I did have some nachos last night. I had a little scooch of nachos. And then when I was putting them away, I was like, meh, 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 you know, eating that pan.
Did you keep any leftovers at all mm-hmm. of those nachos? Because mm-hmm. I don't know how there were any. I purposely didn't eat the rest of them because I wanted to entice you back in because you haven't had much of an appetite.
It's so funny to me that you were like, there's not enough chips here to do nachos. And then we had leftovers.
Yeah, it's weird. I went a little lighter than I would have normally, though, because I didn't think there were enough chips. But boy, it worked out. It. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you did it. You could take a dirty penny, some lint from the floor, and maybe a bat wing and make an entire meal out of it. I don't know how you do it.
I could walk into any house. Something I know for certain. I can walk into any house and make a meal out of whatever's in the kitchen, even when you think there's nothing in your house to eat. I promise you that because I have done it a million times.
She can walk into a kitchen that's got nothing but Arm & Hammer baking soda, one wilted tomato, and make an entire meal. I don't know how you do it. I don't understand
it. Knowing how to cook is such a great skill because if you know how to cook, you know how to make something out of nothing. You will never go hungry. You will always be able to trim your budget. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like the easiest place to trim your budget is your food bill. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. And so I just, you know, when I was raising 7 kids and mm-hmm. being told we didn't have any money all the time, I learned how to be really, really, really frugal.
Sure.
And so I can create something out of nothing. My kids remember pantry soup. And pantry soup was just, I would make a soup out of whatever I could find in the pantry, the freezer, the fridge, whatever was left over, you know, it was always good. It was always great. They had no idea there were times when we really did not have, you know, money for groceries. I remember at one particular little time frame when I was spending between $30 and $50 a week at the grocery store on groceries. I still had 6 kids at home.
Right. You're feeding 8 people at that time mm-hmm. on $30 to $40 a week.
$30 to $50. It just depends. Yeah. So like,
if I only have $30 to $50 on my Starbucks account, I start to panic. That's a real thing. I won't be able to get that extra breakfast sandwich this month.
And you know what? God bless. I love that about you. I do love that about you. And it is a different life for me today. Thank goodness.
I open my scan in store and I see that my card has less than $30 on it. And I...
Wait a minute. I got to move some money from savings to checking.
Yes. Yes. What had happened was.
Exactly. Well, that's all I've got today. Listen, we're in a big state of flux, but we appreciate you being here and being with us.
And we're thrilled to be here for you. And if you need anything at all, you can email Londa@SherwoodAustin.com. That's Londa@SherwoodAustin.com.
Shoot me a text.
Or David@SherwoodAustin.com. David@SherwoodAustin.com. And if you need to get anything to David Fetto, it's Fetto@SherwoodAustin.com. There you have it. And there it is. For the prettiest girl in the world, Londa Joanne Sherwood Austin, I'm David Austin. We'll see you next week.